Each Monday morning, we take a look at The View in Concord with news from New Hampshire's State House. And HPR's Josh Rogers joins us now for the Political Front. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Rick.
Josh, let's start with the local government center. It's been in the news, of course, a lot in the past few years. The LGC's management of its insurance pools has been in the courts before state regulators. And as it stands, the LGC is on the hook to repay cities and towns somewhere around $50 million in surplus. On Friday, the LGC voted to get rid of their executive director, Maura Carroll. How big a deal is this?
Well, I think it's a fairly big deal, Rick. Maura Carroll had been at the Municipal Association and then the Local Government Center for more than 20 years, most of the time as a lobbyist. But since the 2006 retirement of LGC founder John Andrews, she's been the boss. And while the actions that got the LGC into hot water in the first place, illegal use of surplus from health and property insurance pools to help launch a workers' comp insurance pool were orchestrated during John Andrews' watch. Maura Carroll was there through it all and tremendously dogged in defending the moves long after it was probably tenable to do so. People I've spoken to who are connected to the LGC say keeping Carroll around would be self-defeating if the outfit was ever going to rebuild reasonable relationships with state regulators and acquire something of a clean slate with lawmakers. We'll know in time how that all turns out, but one thing plenty of people who have followed this fight are curious about right now is Carroll's severance deal. And as you know, because of a Supreme Court ruling that came out of this fight that essentially found that since the LGC is funded pretty much entirely with taxpayer dollars, it is subject to the right to know law. We are going to find out what sort of deal Maura Carroll gets as she leaves. In the meantime, for the next 6 months, the LGC will be led by George Bald. He was New Hampshire's Commissioner of Economic Development for years. He's well-regarded in Concord, so I guess we'll continue to watch this one.
Mm-hmm. And we're now a month into the legislative session, and while the debate over the state budget will begin in a few weeks, some major bills already pending. Are we getting a sense yet of how New Hampshire's divided legislature, you know, Democrats in control of the House, Republicans in control of the Senate, how is that going to sort out? How are the differences looking?
Well, when you ask how it's going to sort out, that assumes they will be sorted out. Mm-hmm. But I do think we're getting hints of how the two chambers are going to interact. Last week, for instance, the House took up a bill to repeal a law passed by Republicans last year allowing New Hampshire businesses to receive tax credits if they donated scholarships that New Hampshire students could apply towards private school tuition in order to defray the cost of homeschooling. Governor Lynch vetoed this law. Republicans overrode the veto. Now, under the law, no scholarships will be awarded until June, but Democrats who see this policy as undermining public schools want the program gone pronto. And in the House, where Democrats have a 40-vote edge, the repeal is probably going to happen. Now, in the Senate, where Republicans have a 13-11 edge, it was, until late last week at least, also seen as having a pretty good chance of passing this repeal. Because two Republican senators, Bob O'Dell of Leominster and Nancy Stiles of Hampton, had both voted against the policy last year. But at this repeal's first House hearing Thursday, Senator Stiles said that she won't be voting for repeal. That means the Senate vote will likely be 12-12 and the repeal fails. And what Nancy Stiles said at that hearing was interesting, and I suspect we'll be hearing a lot more of this from Republicans and on a host of issues potentially, is that new laws, recently passed laws by the past Republican regime in Concord, ought to be given a chance to work before they are repealed. And this law is likely to stand at least in the State House, but we ought to remember that civil liberties groups have also sued, and they say this policy is unconstitutional because it essentially redirects tax dollars to parochial schools. The case is yet to be heard, but that could end up deciding whether this law ultimately stands or falls.
Lawmakers will hear another Democratic repeal effort this week of the voter ID law Republicans enacted over another veto by Governor Lynch. How do you see that going?
Well, Rick, this issue is about as partisan as they come. Democrats basically hate voter ID. Republicans tend to like voter ID laws. And New Hampshire's law, it's worth noting, isn't yet fully phased in. Last November, you may recall, voters could cast ballots without an ID if they filled out an affidavit. The Secretary of State's office then sent those voters postcards they were required to send back to verify their identity and their address. About half the postcards that went out have been signed and returned so far, per the Secretary of State's office. Those not returned or returned as undeliverable are supposed to be investigated by the AG's office. That was the fallout from the November elections. But starting with city elections this fall, voters without ID will have to have their picture snapped by a poll worker to cast a ballot. So that's what's in store. As far as the repeal goes, in the House, Democrats probably have the votes for a repeal. In the Senate, it could be a very different matter. Republicans there worked hard on this law, Senator Russ Prescott in particular, and they're not likely to let this go easily. And for any Republican who isn't convinced New Hampshire needs an ID law, they'll be under a great deal of pressure. And I suspect the let's give this law a chance to work argument could come in handy on this front also.
I'd imagine so. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome, Rick.
That's NHPR's Josh Rogers. He joins me each Monday on The Political Front to look at New Hampshire politics. You'll find more on The Political Front online at nhpr.org.